back for the very first Supergirl Super Tuesday of season 5. And we are here to preview the upcoming season, to talk about all of the fun little news that's coming out about the upcoming crossover, what we're anticipating for the new season. Just here to get back in the saddle after a long summer. So gonna start out with my co-host. Hey doctor, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Surprisingly good, considering that this is our second attempt at this.
You know, they didn't have to know that. I'm just saying. Yeah. You don't have to know how the bacon is made.
Jay, you give them peeks behind the curtain. That's what keeps them coming back. No, I'm good. And I'm actually really, really excited for this new season of Supergirl.
I am, despite the fact that people are trying to say, like, well, last season, they didn't do so well. That's why they're stepping away from political commentary. It's like, that is not what they're doing, but, you know, hot take on a hot take.
Yeah. Okay, so there's been a lot of news to come out. What I will say is that, and I'm going to also put some of this audio on this episode.
So you may notice some drop-ins of the press interview that I did with the producers of the show, Jessica Queller and Robert Robner.
I was at San Diego Comic-Con in the Supergirl press room. I think the big news that had come out at the time was that she was getting pants, which, yes, very...
She was excited about them.
I know. I'm like, very exciting, but also like, there were so many articles about the pants. I was like, really? Is that all we got, guys? Slow news week.
You know, when it comes to women, it's all about what we wear and our makeup. So.
And then also that was around the time that they announced that Jimmy would be making his exit from the show.
What can you say about James's arc this season leading up to McCloud's departure as a regular?
Well, I think, firstly, I want to say that how much we love McCloud, and we're sad to see him depart as a series regular, but he's still part of our Supergirl family. So hopefully he'll come back. But I think we're telling a story that really, I think, we see James wrestling with stuff in the beginning of the season, and I think it's an interesting story we're telling for him that will set him off, I think, in a very strong way.
Jimmy.
I know, which I'm really, really sad about, because even though his storyline has been up and down, I thought, especially last season, that they gave McCloud a lot to work with. And I was excited, you know, with the introduction of his sister and all of that. I was really excited to see more. So I'm kind of sad that he's leaving.
But I'm wondering, like, because if you follow him on Instagram, he seems to lean more towards indie stuff anyway. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if he just wants to get back to that, which totally respect, you know?
That, and I feel like he was cast in something major. Hold on. Hold the phone. Because I feel like they recently announced that he was just cast in something else. Ugh. I thought I had all my articles pulled up. But yeah, I feel like they announced something and then people were like, oh, that's probably why he's leaving. It's either a movie or it's another series. So I feel like, you know, he's just moving on to other things. And I get it. Season 5, that's about the time you start seeing people moving on to new stuff. He's been there since the beginning. Like I said, it's always been up and down. Some seasons, they really know how to use him. Some seasons, I don't know what the hell they're doing. But, yeah, he's OG. He's been there since the beginning. And they announced that Wynn would be coming back.
Which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, it's like a little swap out. OG member for other OG member. Also,
one of the founding fathers.
Yeah. I mean, also, if we're being honest, you know, no disrespect to Jeremy Jordan, but it's not like I heard a lot about him in that
I
year.
I think he was doing stuff on. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, go ahead. Was he?
I think he was doing some stuff on Broadway.
I mean, that's where he started. So
no, but I think he wanted to do some stuff on Broadway. Mm. I thought that's what part of it was.
Okay. Whatever. Oh yes, he was. He was doing a show on Broadway, American Son.
See?
Yeah. Okay. Good job, Jeremy. So the big thing that everyone is talking about, and what was shown in the trailer, is Lena knows. Lena's pissed. And
Lena's out for blood.
She is out for blood for real.
It's will be hugely important. One of the central stories this season is the friendship between Lena and Kara and whether or not it can survive. Lena's Achilles heel is betrayal, and she has made that clear to her friends from the beginning, and the way she found out about this betrayal, Lex twisting the knife and sort of pouring salt in the wound affects how she feels about it. So that will be a huge central story.
And I think, you know what? We talked about this at the end of last season. You can't be mad at her because her biggest thing has always been trust and honesty. And mm-hmm. there was, Kara had her opportunity to tell Lena.
So many opportunities.
Right? And then there was a specific moment where she was going to do it and she backed off. And I was like, you fucked up because you gave Lex the opening to tell her. And the minute Lex tells her, it's all over for you. If it doesn't come from you, it's a wrap. And they gave Lex that opening, and that's exactly what happened. And so I'm kind of like, everybody made their beds. Because, I mean, yeah, at this point, everyone knows who that Kara is Supergirl except for Lena. So I want to see the fallout, and I wonder if that's going to also play into his leaving. I want to see the fallout of the fact that Jimmy knew and didn't tell her.
I hope they don't kill him off. That's my fear.
Yeah, I hope. They shouldn't. They shouldn't.
And yet, but if they wanted to, they did it in the movie. I'm just kidding. The movie that shall not be named.
I know, but that was even more egregious because that was like, oh yeah, that person we killed, that was Jimmy Olsen. they didn't even really do it.
I have to put this out there because I know D-Palm has been on a tear showing us how terrible the movie reviews are coming out for the Joker. But I hate to say it, it was one of those things where that dude, Zack Snyder did that shit, and Todd Phillips came along saying, hold my beer. Let me show you how I can really, before and after the fact, fuck up my movie.
Todd Phillips seems really... It's like somebody who keeps digging a hole, and they're like, no, I'm going to fix it with this next thing. And it just keeps getting deeper. Because I'm like, at what point does somebody tell him to stop doing interviews? At what point does somebody say, just let the movie speak for itself? It feels like he keeps being like, no, I got one more interview in me. I'm going to make it better with this one. No, sir, no. It's the hubris of a white man, undefeated. So that's the big thing. I'm really excited. What do you want to see from Lena this season?
They've been doing a really good job with nuance in their primary characters. And now that she's, going dark side, I hope they continue with that. I want to see her actually struggle with the decision to go after revenge because, yeah, they lied to her, but they also helped her and saved her. So there's got to be some three-dimensional portrayal of her turn.
Yeah. And I feel
I'm not worried because they haven't let me down since season one, but but I still have to put that out there.
What I would love to see is that if they do decide, you know, like, even if it takes the whole season, if they mm-hmm. do decide by the end of this, like, season that Lena is, like, our villain officially, mm-hmm. and she goes completely dark, I don't want her to go back.
Oh, for sure. No, she's got to stay.
Yeah. Because that's one thing I really don't like that CW tends to do with its villains. It's like, how do we redeem them? How do we, like, you know, make them go bad and then pull them back from the edge? And I'm like, no, sometimes I just want, especially when it's a female villain, I love seeing a female villain just be dark and yeah. unrepentant. So if they take her to that place, then I'm like, keep her there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that.
And then we have, you know, we have Kara is coming into her own again. Like, what I liked that they were talking about at San Diego a lot is that, you know, she's continuing to mature with the pants and she got a new haircut and, like, you know, she's just getting older and older and less like super girl and more super woman. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about that. And then I really want to see her more now in this mentor role with Dreamer.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That should be really, really interesting. And then mm-hmm. we have Alex and mm-hmm. her new boo. And and a potential new baby, a baby and a boo. All together.
These are a lot of life changes. And yeah, these are a lot of life changes.
Yeah.
Remind me, because I can't believe I forgot that fast. Haley's still alive, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. The general. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, she didn't die.
I'm never one to deny a Black woman a job, but I'm pissed how they wrote her character.
Well, so this will be interesting because the other big thing that we see in the trailer is John's brother. I don't know. You would know better than I am. I mean, obviously in Martian form, they all kind of look alike, but is he like a twin?
That's racist. Sorry.
It's specious.
They kind of all look alike in Martian form.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's racist too. I will own my own racism in that statement.
But when he's not in Martian form, is he like a twin? Does he look exactly like...
No, I got the impression that that was a John from a different part of the multiverse.
See, I thought, because doesn't the monitor say to him something like brother?
Yeah, but I really think because he's been bringing people over from alternate universes to do whatever the hell he's doing, mm-hmm. I think that's a different version of John.
Okay. So basically what I was getting at is David Harewood playing two roles.
Yes.
Okay.
While directing. I'm like, my dude.
That's going to be interesting.
You got some roles we don't know about? What's going on? I'm kidding.
No, but remember when he also was playing, John and then Hank Henshaw?
Yeah.
So I really like when he gets the opportunity to flex like that.
Same.
Yeah, he's really good. Okay, all right. So that'll be interesting. And then it's all leading up to the big crossover, which so much...
They bring it back all the legacy characters. Tom Welling! Yeah!
Oh my God. So pictures have already started dropping on Instagram. You know what I love about stuff like this is how excited the actors are to be doing it. Like, remember last crossover when they were filming on the Smallville set?
Yes.
And they were so excited. Like, Grant was like posting. He's like, look at where we are, guys. So I love like how excited the actors are to be doing it. So they're all like, you know, like Erica Durance is like, look who I ran into. And it's like her and Tom Welling and like, and all the Supermen.
I'm so sorry. This is going to be some Inception level casting, especially because you consider that Erica played, oh gosh, Lois Lane and Tom played Clark. Mm-hmm. And now Erica's playing the mom.
Well, Kara's mom. Yeah, she's playing Kara's mom. So this is what's great about it. The whole Arrowverse already does a good job of casting folks from past DC shows in new roles. So, you know, that was what was so great about Flash, was that they cast, like, his father was played by the original Flash. And since then, they've used that to bring him, play all these other characters in the multiverse. So it's like you've already had some of these characters. And I don't know what's going on with Dean Cain right now.
Dean Cain don't need to be a part of it.
But Dean Cain, like, don't know how to, you know,
keep his mouth shut.
But he was already there. Like, that was what was so great, is like he's already there playing Kara's dad. Like, it would have been great. Like, we would have had like a million Supermen, because they have Brandon Routh playing a version of Superman, because he's playing Kingdom Come Superman, because he was Superman in the movies. And then you have Tom Welling, and you have Tyler Hoechlin. You know, I don't know, could have potentially had Dean Cain as well, who has played Superman. Then you have Homegirl, who plays Kara's mom, who was Supergirl. You know, like, there's just
Helen Slater.
So you have there's just so many ways you could go with it. Like, Mark Hamill has been on The Flash, and I think they're having, well, no, they're definitely having, who's the gentleman who's the voice of Batman from the cartoons?
Kevin Connolly.
Kevin Conroy. Like, every single person that they are announcing, it's just hype after hype after hype. And like, a lot of these people have already guest starred as other characters on these shows. So it's just really, really exciting. And everyone's so geeked out. I don't even understand how you get, like, what do you do after this crossover? 'Cause this crossover is going to have everything. And I know it's like 5 hours, but it still feels like I don't understand how they're going to service all of the characters in five hours.
Look, I don't either.
Plus our original character. And then, like, there were such cute other little things, like the guy who's playing Ryan Choi in the crossover, who's the other Adam. Did you hear the whole story about that with Gail Simone?
No, I know he played Kevin on Supernatural.
Yeah, so yeah, you would know that.
I'll appreciate the snark and the shade, ma'am.
So the story of that is that Gail Simone created that character. She created Ryan Choi. She was like, When DC brought her in, she was like, I really want to do a new version of this character. And she wanted to do, like, these tech people. She was like, that reminded me, like, a lot of, like, my Asian friends. Like, I created the character, like, based on a lot of my friends. And she wrote this character. It kind of took off. And the actor, Osric Chow, he was a fan of the comics, and I think had like written to Gail or tweeted her or something like that, and was just like, oh my God, this is the first time I really felt like represented in a comic, like this character feels like me, and da da da. And so she just thought he was like lovely and started like following his work. And then when she was writing another character for her other comic, Red Sonja, she was like, can I use your name and like your like likeness essentially for that character? So there's a character in Red Sonja named Osric. And she would always say, like, if you ever do like a live action version of Ryan Choi, like it needs to be played by Osric. Like, he is this character.
And
then she found out, like, she saw the announcement that he had been cast to play this character on this crossover. And she was like, this is all I've ever wanted, was for him to play this character. I was like, this is beautiful. like you guys don't understand. And it's stuff like that, because you know that there is somebody at like CWDC who knew that whole background. This guy's been on CW shows before. Like, and they were like, we're going to do this character on this crossover. We have to cast this guy. Like, that's the kind of deep cuts we're getting in this crossover. And I think it's amazing.
It is good. It's definitely very good. I'm very excited about everything.
Yeah, I'm super happy. Yeah, so the other thing that they set up in the finale was Leviathan. So I think that's going to be the overarching story. And the producers were talking about how it's going to talk a lot about like technology and how fast things are moving in our world.
We're exploring how technology is literally changing the fabric of humanity, our addiction to our devices. And at the end of last season, we took down the bad president, and it's time to rebuild the world. However, that job is so overwhelming. People tend to want to escape into technology, and that might be exploited against them.
So I don't think they're shying away from the politics. And the other thing that I got from them when we talked at San Diego was about how they felt like this season, because I complimented them on how good the season was and how it really walked that edge of, you know, being topical, but also being a just a good superhero story.
This season, you kind of really hit the pocket of balancing the comic book stuff and the real world stuff. Was there something different happening in the writer's room? It just felt so organic and topical.
Well, thank you. I mean, it was the first season that we, Jessica and I, planned from the beginning and kind of had full artistic freedom over it.
It was our baby.
Yeah. So, and I think we were very passionate about the stories we were telling and wanted to make sure we did it right, especially, you know, both for the material we were covering, but also, you know, we had this gift of Lex Luthor, and we wanted to be able to do justice to that and make sure we nailed that, which we feel John Cryer did. So.
Well, and was it last season or the season before when Captain Sexual Harassment a Lot got fired?
Andrew Kreisberg. Yes.
Thank you. I can remember his name.
I was like, Captain Sexual. I mean, and so this is the thing. If you noticed, which I know you didn't because you don't watch Arrow and you didn't really watch Flash last season.
I tapped all
but
the way
to fuck
out.
For those of you who are. if you noticed, the past seasons of both of them, so... Arrow got a new showrunner who's a woman. Mm-hmm. And okay. This past season, what you saw a lot of was the female characters really taking front and center on that show. It was just really well done. And I think that's a big reason why they're talking about this potential Birds of Prey spinoff. Because mm-hmm. they did the flash forwards into the future with Oliver's mm-hmm. daughter, Oliver and Felicity's daughter.
Wait, okay, I don't even care. Go on. So, I was about to ask something and I remembered.
Instead of like Flash, you know how usually it's like the island flashbacks? This season, mm-hmm. what they did was flash forwards to the future with a character that you eventually found out was Oliver and Felicity's daughter.
Is it bad that I'm listening to this? I'm like, didn't they just do this on The Flash, though?
No. So, like, The Flash was different because their daughter came from the future to their time.
Okay.
And also what you realize by the end of The Flash was that the future that she was coming from, actually, now that they've changed things, never happened. So the Oliver and Felicity future that we saw mm-hmm. on Arrow is like the actual future, the future that Barry and Iris's daughter was coming from doesn't exist anymore because they changed the past. I know. Okay. Timey-wimey. This year, The Flash also has a new showrunner who is a black guy.
Ah.
And they
not the Ali type black guy, though, right?
The what?
The Malik Akil, not the Akil type of black guy.
I mean, look, we gonna see. We gonna see.
I'm just saying, you don't know how to rate lesbians or black women in general.
But I will say is like, you know, not all skin folk are kinfolk, but from the interactions that I've seen like on Twitter between him and the cast, it does seem like a good fit. And I know one of the big things that people are talking about for this season of The Flash is that Candace Patton is going to wear her hair natural.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. So, I mean, it's sad that that's a big deal.
We are black in America, sweetie.
I know, but she was like, guess what, guys? I'm going to, get to wear my, natural curls in this episode, and everybody lost their shit. everyone was like, oh, my God, I've been waiting 5 seasons for this. And I'm like, wow.
We are so stark. We're just acknowledgement and affirmant. It is heartbreaking how starved we are for it.
I mean, it's sad how starved I'm not we saying are for it.
I'm just saying in general. I'm sorry. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying in general, it is really sad that even something that small is so major.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like, it's not even like validation approval. Like, cause I think a lot of people go there, like, why are we waiting for the white man's approval? But it's not even that. It's like the fact that it should be normalized. It shouldn't be a big deal. It shouldn't be a headline grabber. Like I'm wearing my hair, how it grows out of my head.
Annalise taking off her wig and makeup should not have been groundbreaking, and yet it was.
Mm-hmm. And that happened, 3 years ago?
Mm.
So it's 3 years later, new big breakthrough. Candace Patton wears her hair how it is when she wakes up in the morning. She doesn't have to sit in somebody's makeup chair for 3 hours and get her hair straightened just to do a scene. It's crazy. But I'm just saying, and like you said, now that, you know, Captain Sexual Harassment is gone, you can see the changes. You really see the changes in the show. I love that. So Arrow is done after the crossover. Basically, they're doing a half season.
I was going to say, I thought they had a shorter last season order.
Yeah, so their episodes are basically leading up to the crossover. And then, I'm assuming, I don't know if they've set the order of the episodes yet, but I'm assuming the Arrow episode will be the last episode of the crossover.
What if it's the first? Dun, dun, dun!
I mean, I don't know. it would be weird. It would be weird for the final episode of Arrow to be the first episode of a crossover. You know? Anyway. And then the other thing that will be introduced. So Black Lightning is going to be a part of the crossover, which is a big deal because they were talking about how Black Lightning is so separate. Actually, what I'm hoping is that because Black Lightning is a part of the crossover, that... Mm-hmm. Berlanti Productions is able to exert a little bit more creative control over that show. And before y'all call me a coon, I feel like that show needs some white man oversight, because whatever's happening over at Black Lightning is not working. So I'm okay. Let that white man take over creative control. And then Batwoman, which you've heard me and Chris talk about Batwoman. Meet Chris and Brandon. We saw it at San Diego. I'm not giving up on Batwoman yet. It was just a pilot. I hope they take that feedback that they got at San Diego and do some reshoots.
Honestly, though, I'm not... If this was 10 years ago, I'd give it a chance, but there's too much good television and too many good actors for me to sit through and wait for that actress to grow into her role. I just refuse to do it.
And I think that's kind of that was the sentiment that, like, Chris and Brandon had, was basically like, we could understand if this was, you know, first season of Flash or even like first season of Legends, but you've done this how many times? Mm-hmm. It should be better.
So, and you have the juice to be able to cast talented unknowns. Mm-hmm. I am all for getting an unknown or a lesser known, but can we get a lesser known that can actually act? Because they do exist. They are not magical unicorns. They are out there.
And I feel like that is one of the issues that they've had recently in launching the shows, is because they have done such a good job with these shows, you know, now they, it's like the Marvel movies, like, you know, that first mm-hmm. Iron Man movie had like no one in it
except for
Robert was like, that was
That was his comeback, but yeah. I was going to say, like, I'm messing up. No, it also had Jeff Bridges, and Jeff Bridges is a name and was a name at that time.
But also he was playing a small one-off part, you know, like not expecting to be back. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it was, you know, there was a time before people were coming to Marvel wanting to be in a Marvel movie. And I think that's the issue now, is that, like, with the CW shows, because they are good and they are popular, they're like, we can get bigger people to be in these roles. Mm-hmm. And what they're forgetting, what made these shows so great, is that they did cast unknown people that people had never heard of. So we saw them as the characters, not as the actors. Like, it didn't need to be Ruby Rose. They didn't need a name to launch Batwoman.
Well, here's, no offense, I had never heard of Ruby Rose before that crossover. And since the crossover, I'm like, let me finish. I'm like, why is she a thing? Because I don't,
that's what I'm saying. Like, because... No, she is a thing. She's been a thing. So she's a thing because she comes from, she's modeling. That's where she comes from. And because she has this, like, androgynous, you know, mask femme kind of energy, and because she is herself bisexual, I believe, like, her brand is just very big. And so she went from doing modeling to doing acting. She's not a great actress. She actually has a very striking face, which was great for modeling. She's not a great actress. But she kind of started getting cast in these roles of, like, we need, like, a bisexual character that's, like, appealing to both genders. And so that was where she started getting casted in a lot of shit, even though she's not a good actress. And a lot of people are like, you know, I want Ruby Rose to, you know, she could throw me up against the wall and did it. You know, like, everybody, for some reason, is very attracted to her. I don't get it.
She's not an unattractive person. She's beautiful. Yeah, she can't act.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying, is, like, that's where it came from. It was like, people, because she has a certain look, because she herself is bisexual, so it was like, oh, representation, you have, like, an actual, you know, LGBTQ person playing these roles, like, because her first big thing that she was cast in was Orange is the New Black. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, oh, she's going to be on Orange is the New Black. It's, like, so perfect because, you know, she's, like, so sexy and Orange is the New Black and it's all female and yay, girl power and blah, blah, blah. So she started just getting cast and stuff. And then I feel like she was in John Wick. She was in one of the John Wicks as well. You know, she has a look, and because she's a model, she has a very adaptable look. But again,
I get it. I get all of this. She can't act. Yeah. Come closer. Come closer, CW casting agents. Let me talk to you for just a second. You have found some beautiful unknown members of the LGBT plus community for your shows. You have. You really have.
I mean,
Nicole Maines is a beautiful girl and a beautiful actress. And she started off a little rocky, but not super rocky. She grew, gave her a couple of episodes. She dove into that shit. Find you another Nicole Maines-like character, because you can't tell me that there are not some beautiful bisexual or gay women that wouldn't kill the shit out of that role that can act.
I would like to point out that they actually hired a lot of people that weren't out at the time that they were hired, but they have a lot of gay people. Colton Haynes wasn't out when he got cast.
That's true.
Emily Bett Rickards, like, whoa, did she come out the gate? Gay as hell. I'm pretty sure. Has Katie Lotz come out? I feel like she's bi. I feel like she's hinted at it. I'm just saying, there's a lot of gay people.
Yeah, I don't know if you're kind of
there's a lot of gay people.
Oh, well, not Colton Haynes. My boy, Leonard Snart. How am I forgetting his name?
What's his name? I was about to... Michael. I'm like Michael from Prison Break. Why don't we know him? Oh, Wes. Wes. Why don't we know his name right now? But yes, there's a lot of gay people on these shows. They could have found an unknown. Okay, we lost each other for a second there. Apologies to Wentworth Miller, whose name we could not remember.
But who we adore.
I'm sure. I adore him. And I'm sure there was somebody listening to that last, 3 minutes screaming.
It's Wentworth Miller, goddamn it!
Oh my God, I do that so much to podcasts where I'm just like, why can't you remember the thing that I know? Yeah, they've cast a lot of either not out at the time or very much so out and openly proud about their sexuality actors who can actually act. So I don't know. Oh, homeboy, Malcolm Merlyn. Gay as the day is long.
John Barrowman.
Gay as the day is long. Very gay. I've seen that man at a panel. he might as well be at a gay pride parade. So yeah, they definitely could have done better. But I feel like that was stunt casting. Like, they wanted to be like, look who we got, guys. And they knew, for the people who don't watch those shows, I think it's definitely going to be a draw. Like, don't get me wrong. I think the show is going to have good ratings, right off the bat. Because there's a lot of people who are, Ruby Rose fans who have never seen a superhero show who will probably tune in just because she's on it.
No, I don't disagree.
Yeah. And what I will say is that I think the supporting cast is really good. Like, they have Megan Tandy from Teen Wolf.
Oh, the girl from Teen Wolf!
Yeah. She plays her lover.
Oh, Megan.
Yeah, she's great. And they have DuGray Scott playing her dad. And there's some other, kind of newcomer type folks. But I think her supporting cast is incredibly strong.
So I am watching a Chinese show where the main lead actress is phenomenal, but the rest of the cast is largely forgettable. And I can tell you from that experience, that may not save the show.
Yeah, no. I mean, but when I think back to that first season of Arrow, Stephen Amell, not the strongest.
Yeah, but they knew that and didn't have him talking a whole hell of a lot either. He was just basically.
Oh, she doesn't talk a lot either.
He had on almost a full hood though. We couldn't even see him fail to emote.
No, I'm saying like she doesn't talk a lot. A lot of it is just like that first season of Arrow, like that, you know, narration. I'm like writing in my, because it's like she's writing to Bruce. Like she's basically being like, when she discovers his secret, she's like, you know, I'm writing down my story so that one day when you come back to Gotham, you'll understand why I took up the cape and cowl and da da da. So it's like a lot of her narration. She doesn't actually speak a lot. We'll see. Right now, to me, Batwoman is on Black Lightning status, where I will probably quietly watch it each week and see how I feel. And if it's good, I'll talk about it. If you don't hear me talk about it, you know how I feel.
That's fair.
So this crossover pants. Melissa has bangs. Melissa got married.
Yes, Chris.
Yeah, she got married to Chris. Apparently it was a lovely wedding. Go listen to Fat Man Beyond with Kevin Smith and he'll tell you all about the wedding because he was there. Apparently they wrote vows that were incredibly beautiful. I didn't know. Apparently Chris is a writer.
Yeah, I saw where someone had mentioned that and it meant that his vows were like lyrical and poetic. Yeah.
So I would, you know what I would think would be really awesome is to see a Chris Wood written episode of Supergirl.
Pump the brakes in there, sister.
I think that would be dope. I think that would be dope. If you have somebody who's a good writer and he knows the voice of the characters, he was on the show. I would love to see a Chris Wood written episode of Supergirl. You know, the actors out here directing, you know, let that man put pen to paper. And yeah, I'm really excited for, I'm not excited for all the recording, but I'm very excited for the CW shows to come back.
Same. Well, I'm excited for Supergirl to come back.
Yeah, because you've given up on
it. I'm excited for the crossover.
Okay, so I feel like I'm the only one who watches everything.
That's about right. Yeah,
because I feel like Chris only watches Legends, Arrow, and Flash. Mm-hmm. I know D-Palm, I believe, is like also quietly watching Supergirl.
Somewhere along the line, though. Yeah. No, you're not watching everything because you gave up on Black Lightning.
I'm going to watch it. I'm just not going to talk about it.
Why would you do that? I need you to love yourself more.
No, because this is the thing. I'm going to watch it at least for the first three episodes and just see.
I need to love yourself more.
I'm going to give it three episodes. If it is worth watching past episode three, I will watch the crossover. That's it.
Oh, summer child, I swear for God, why don't you love yourself more?
Well, we'll just see. It also depends on how much time I have because I haven't really added too many new shows to my watch list so far, but there are a couple that I'm really liking. I really like Prodigal Son. It's new procedural. It's on Fox. It's like one of those like guy who's like not a cop but consults with the cops. But the twist in this one is that he is the son of a really famous serial killer who now studies serial killers.
Dun, dun, dun.
And his dad is in prison for committing all these murders. And so sometimes he goes to his dad for like advice about his cases. Because his whole thing is trying to get into the mind of a murderer. And what's her name? Melly from Scandal plays his mom. The Doctor is played by Martin Sheen.
Oh.
Or the serial killer is played by Martin Sheen. And the main character is played by Jesus from Walking Dead, who I did not recognize at all because he doesn't have a beard and long hair.
Yeah. And he's got a, that beard was hiding that big ass jaw of his.
That's so rude. And
like, am I wrong?
Whatever. Lou Diamond Phillips also plays his like mentor, his like cop mentor. And you find out in the first episode that he's also the cop that arrested his dad.
Mm.
And what's her name? Aurora Pirano. Harold Pirano's daughter is like clearly going to be his love interest. She's another cop. I'm like, I'm like, they'll get together.
Is this a show where he's kind of a magician too? Because I feel like I saw a trailer for this.
No, I feel like that show came out last season where it was like, he solves crimes because he's a magician. Like, yes. Like, I feel like every year there's a new like cop procedural that's about like, this is what makes him different. Like, I was like, I want one. And, you know, I'm saying it now on the podcast, so, like, if somebody takes this idea, I will totally sue you. But I want one.
Then don't say it.
No, I won't. I'm saying it because I, just in case you can hold me to it, you'd be like, you should do this. I want one where the twist is that it's a black person. And they're able to figure out crimes because black people understand how crazy white people can be. Like, we just think of the most outrageous thing is like, oh, that, yeah, that man definitely like took that like knife and slashed that guy's throat and then threw it in like a sewer and thought they weren't going to get caught because privilege. That's the twist every week. Because privilege.
That show would last exactly half an episode. They would rip that off the air before it finished airing. Come on now.
I mean, because at this point, they're like, you know, he's consulting with the cops. He's able to figure out crimes. Why? Because he's a chef. Like, it's just anything now. Like all of these. But I actually do enjoy this one. I think it's because the actors are just so good on it. So that's one I'm watching. And then right now, everything else is like streaming. I'm watching that Wu-Tang show on Hulu. And yeah, everything else is stuff that I can binge, that it just all comes out at once. Like right now, not a lot of space on my docket for new shows. So we'll see. Black Lightning will make the cut if there is like nothing else I feel like watching. And what day did it come on? Did it come on Thursdays? Last season?
Black Lightning was on Tuesdays, wasn't it?
Oh, if it comes on Tuesdays, it's a wrap. Sorry. There's too much shit that comes on Tuesdays.
I thought maybe it was the first year it came on Mondays. Yeah. I mean, Tuesdays, and then it moved to Thursdays, but I swore it was on Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, if it's on Tuesdays, it's a wrap because there's too much stuff on Tuesdays right now. The other one I'm watching is Mixed-ish.
Which is I saw the first episode of that.
Yeah.
And it was good, but I love Tika Sumter, but they really fucked up with that casting.
Yeah. Tika Sumter will never turn into Anna DeVere Smith unless they do a whole season about how she started using skin lightening products.
Or that she has vitiligo, because I had a hairdresser with vitiligo who went from like Tika Sumter's color to almost translucent.
Yeah, there's just no way, because it's really ridiculous, that casting. Yeah. But I'm loving Mark Paul Gosselaar giving me Danny Tanner vibes every week, giving us like dad pep talks with Bo.
These days, loving on a black girl, black woman, I tell you.
It's lovely. It is really lovely.
He has the blondest, whitest wife. It was funny.
I know. I looked up his wife because I was like, maybe he's married to a black woman. He is definitely not. She is very much so white.
They got some of the most Aryan looking kids on the planet. I'm going to hell. Go to hell.
But no, I love him on this show. I think he's so sweet. My only thing is like, I get it. It's like set in the 80s and all this other stuff. But like the narration from what's her name? From Tracee Ellis Ross. It's just mm-hmm. so extra. Like every single week it's like, you know, back in the 80s, there were only two choices. You know, you were either into this or that. You were either black or white. If you were somewhere in between, you didn't know what life was like. It's just like, it's so extra. Like, we get it. You're mixed. Calm down. It's so extra. But that's another one that I'm enjoying. But other than that, there are a lot of, it's just mostly returning shows. So we'll see. I'm like, Black Lightning. If I'm being really honest, it has like really one episode to grab me.
Girl, that show is on Sleepy Hollow status with me. I will never see the rest of that last season.
Oh, the rest of that last season, I don't think I saw any of the, like once Abby died, I didn't watch that show no more.
I was about to watch the episode when Abby died, and then I saw on Twitter how they did it. I didn't even bother watching that episode. I was like, nope. Y'all got it. Nope.
Yeah. So, Supergirl comes back on Sundays. We will be recording on Mondays. I know it was a very quick turnaround. We will try and have a feedback post Sunday evening so that you can leave feedback. I feel like, I'm just saying this, I feel like I said this last season as well, like, make the time on Sundays. If you're still watching Walking Dead, I don't know why. So...
shit off. And you know what I started doing, only because it's morbid curiosity, I have more fun watching the fan react videos for The Walking Dead, because it's 10 minutes, I get the gist of what's going on, and watching those people call out the bullshit that is The Walking Dead is hilarious.
You know what,
save yourself 90 minutes a week and just watch the fan react on YouTube.
I say this every single time, and really it's about like me sitting my ass down and finding time. I really am interested in Fear the Walking Dead. I just am. I feel like whenever I hear about that show and what's happening on that show, it always sounds so much more interesting than anything that's happening on The Walking Dead. And it's on me. I blame myself. I need to just sit my ass down and binge watch it.
Well, so here's the thing. I've also been watching the fan react to that. No.
I'm just saying, like, the themes and the things that they're doing on that show sound so much more interesting. Whereas part of the reason I stopped watching Walking Dead was because I felt like every single season it was like the same thing. Find a new place, fuck up the place, leave the place. At least with Fear the Walking Dead, from what I like hear, like there was like one season where they were like on a Native American reservation, and like they really got into like issues of like race and place, and like, you know, so like it just feels deeper than, you know, Rick every season going like, we're the real Walking Dead. Like,
sorry.
And it's not set in the South, so I don't have to hear everybody do horrible Southern accents. So that part alone sounds better. So we will be here on Mondays, and I suggest y'all watch on Sunday. I might live tweet, because I enjoy a good live tweet. anything else you want to update people on?
No, that's it.
Okay. So stay tuned. I'm going to throw some audio at the end here from the producers and cast of Supergirl talking about the upcoming season. And we will see you on this following Monday to talk about the first episode of the show.
Bye.
How much of the Leviathan arc are you drawing from the comics, and like, what's the pace really of laying out those clues as the season begins?
Well, it's our own incarnation of Leviathan, based, you know, on what's gone before. But it's going to be a full season-long arc, and like we did with Red Daughter, we're going to dole it out and, you know, have little clues along the way until it evolves into something much bigger.
Can you talk about Kara's new costume?
Oh, we think it's awesome.
We're so excited about it. It's something we've been wanting to do for a long time. We just needed to find the right time in between seasons to build it and conceive it and create it. And we think it is so powerful and iconic and suits Melissa's interpretation of Supergirl. And we're all just thrilled.
Comment in season 4 planned comment of like saying that it looked like a cheerleader costume. Was the new costume already in development when that comment was dropped?
The idea has been in development for a long time. So I can't remember who made that dig, but
yes.
Is there any way to bring Manchester back to life?
Oh, on Supergirl there's always a way. We love that character.
We love him.
We love David Ajala, so we would love to
so much.
He's able to bring him back at some point.
Amazing actor and amazing character, so you never know. Yeah.